And we have gathered this afternoon to celebrate the life of a holy man of God. A holy man of God reveals three characteristics. He is known by his purity of life and the purity of his character. Anyone who has ever known the man that I affectionately call Uncle Henry knows that he was truly a holy man of God. He was converted through reading the scriptures, having never heard a sermon or gospel sermon. And consequently, the Bible became for him a book of books. And he, like John Wesley, was a man of one book, primarily. You never saw him without seeing the Bible with him. In all of the churches that I have pastored, Uncle Henry came to every one. And in every one, he was a man of the Word. He had memorized great portions of that Word. And he would arise early, put his little coffee on. I'd walk into the kitchen and he'd be there with his Bible just reading away. And he said, well, I read 30 chapters today. And I said, how much are you absorbing? He closed the Bible and began to quote. And on and on and on and on he went. And I said, no wonder you are such a spiritual man. And a man that is an excellent example of the verse that says, hide the word in your heart so that you may not sin against God. The second quality of truly a man of God is that he exerts a beneficial influence on all of those whom he meets and all who come in contact with him. And since you all know our dear Uncle Henry, you know that his life was one of tremendous influences. I first came in contact with him in the late 30s, about 1938. And from that point on, his life was a reflection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And his influence upon me was rather vast and rather significant. He always challenged us to reach beyond our ability to do. And I remember when I was first converted, he said, Sonny, I want you to go with me next week. I'm going to a revival meeting in Sunflower, Mississippi. And I said, Henry, what are you talking about? He said, well, you're going to be a preacher. I'm going to show you how it's done. And he did. And I had to lead the singing, and I've never done that in my life. And those who hear me sing say, stick to preaching. Great influence on my life. But he had tremendous influence over my four sons. And every time they saw him coming, they said, hey, let's get the paper balls. Anybody remember paper balls? You can't forget paper balls when Henry Beyer was around. His influence on my kids alone is worth more than all the money in the world. Yes, sir. For he helped them to find Christ and become established in the Word. Only eternity will reveal how great an influence he had on our lives. Missionaries, ministers, evangelists are all in the field in service because of the influence of his life. A holy man also inspires people to noble deeds and noble actions. And one of the great things about Uncle Henry, and the father of all of you folks sitting here, and the husband, the tremendous influence of creating within me a desire to be the best that I could be, to reach beyond the abilities that we have. And people all over this country have felt the influence of Uncle Henry Beyer. What God has written in the quietness of the people's lives, he underscores in their death. And so it is that we celebrate this afternoon the blameless life of Uncle Henry, a holy man who touched all of us on his way to glory. Henry is survived, or was born September the 17th, 1912. Born in New Orleans, Louisiana. He went to be with the Lord December the 27th, 2000, at the year 88 years of age. He is the husband of the late Edna Beyer, survived by his beloved wife, Ormelia Beyer of Prairieville, Louisiana, Henry T. Beyer III of Houston, Texas, William E. Beyer, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, Philip P. Beyer, Nashville, Tennessee, James Beyer, Houston, Texas, David L. Beyer, Ponchatoula, Louisiana. Five wonderful, great sons. Stepfather of Louis W. King, White Pine, Tennessee, Vernon D. King, Belize, Central America, Dorothy K. Collins, Denham Springs, Louisiana. He is also survived by a brother, Reverend Theodore L. Beyer of Pearl River, Louisiana, and a sister, Ormelia Lovey Dugan of Pearl River, Louisiana. Survived also by 23 grandchildren and 22 great-grandchildren. Will you join me in prayer, please? It is with grateful hearts that we gather this afternoon, our Heavenly Father. We gather in your presence and in the realization that you are present in this room. We thank you for the fellowship of renewing the family relationships, of seeing one another that we have not seen for many years. But we come primarily to celebrate the life of a good and godly man, and rejoice that at this moment he is more alive than he has ever been before. And he is walking the streets of the city that he has longed for. While we are sad in our hearts and grieve in our spirits, I pray that we will take the advice of Paul and not sorrow as those who have no hope, but to sorrow in the hope that the Lord Jesus Christ, who will come again, will reunite us in love and perfection so that we might enjoy life with you throughout eternity. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.
We are the Baptists who claim the buyers last. And I say that with great humility and pride. All through my life, if I wanted to describe somebody carried away praising the Lord, I said he had a Nazarene spell. All my life as a Christian, I've said that. And to have real Nazarene sitting in my church just blessed me, I'm going to tell you. We teased Brother Beyer just like I'm teasing today, and Ms. Beyer. They were our token Nazarenes. And if I ever used my phrase about having a Nazarene spell, I had to look where they sat in their place. And I always got the grin. Amen. Isn't that wonderful to think about? Almost always when I have a funeral service, and it's a great honor to me to be included in the group today because of the great affection not only myself and my wife have for Brother Beyer, but our entire church has just adopted them and vice versa. Really, all the survivors are not read in the obituary because he's got lots more kids.
Right.
Grandkids,
right. Right.
Great-grandkids. One of the little ones is here today from that side of the family, from that part of the family. Isn't it good to think about the family?
Right.
Yes. Really the family without the walls and the divisions.
Sir.
So it's a great honor. And usually when I have a part in a service, I have a thought that comes to my mind, and the verse of Scripture that came to my mind today is David said in Psalm 119, I am a companion of all those, not all those in my denomination, but I'm a companion of all those who fear thy name. I like that verse of Scripture.
Amen.
And of all those that obey your precepts. And Brother Beyer, we say sometimes at a funeral, we say, we've come here today to honor the passing of a friend. And I want to say we've come here today to honor the passing of a friend. He was a friend to us preachers, was he not?
Yes, he was.
You've said that already. I'm going to repeat a couple of things that you said.
Fine.
Emphasize. The preacher's friend. Humbly I say, my biggest fan. I was like John the Baptist. I'm not worthy to unloose his shoe. But he's the one that would pump me up. And he said, I've been up and down my street, and I've been telling them about that preacher down at Little Prayer. That's why they never came. They heard the true story. But I've been up and down my street telling them about that preacher at Little Prayer, and I've heard him say that. And I mean, you could fall flat on your face in the pulpit, and you'd think Billy had been there, Graham.
That's right.
He was a friend of the preachers. And he was a friend to our church. He prayed, and I know the other churches that would stand up and claim these folks. You know, some people you want to say, well, they're a member down the road. But I bet a bunch of us, they'd like to claim the Beyer family. We'd say they're ours. And they felt the same way back. They prayed. They encouraged. They were there. When he was staying at David and Sharon's, I got to meet Sharon today. We've talked on the phone a lot. I told her my wife was beginning to say, it's that woman again on the phone. But she helped us understand what was going on with Brother and Ms. Beyer. And he'd say, call and find out what time church is from Ponchatoula. And she'd finally just let him call. And he'd say, when y'all coming? And I'd say, well, it's tomorrow night. He'd say, okay. Call me tomorrow and let me know what time. He was ready to go, wasn't he? Now, I'm going to tell you, we could take a bunch more like that. And they'd do the Lord, they'd glorify the Lord in their communities. And then I just wanted to say that he was a friend to the kids. And I'm glad the paper ball, I know what the paper balls are.
That's right.
I've seen the kites. And we're kind of the late bloomers. We're kind of the latecomers, you know. In this circle. You guys have been since the 30s. I wasn't even born until way up in the 50s. No, that's not quite true. We're kind of the new kids on the block, but boy, we're glad that we got to know Brother Beyer. And we're glad that we hadn't stopped knowing him. But you'd come in our church, and there's James and Leslie, and I know Jeremy just hung around, and Danielle. He had all those little poems he went through with the kids.
Yes, he did.
And the little games, and there was no generation gap.
Praise God. Praise God.
You know, I thought about that.
Praise God.
It's kind of hard to reach young people sometimes today to know how to talk to them even. But he didn't have any problem. He talked to them, I guess, like he'd done ever since he'd been saved.
Amen.
And they just flocked to him. So we say thank God for his grace that saves, that changes, that makes us one in Jesus.
Amen.
And for Brother Beyer, a member of the family, has stepped over on the other side, temporary separation, but we have hope in Jesus.
Yes,
like Brother Beyer, I'm a preacher with two wives. My first wife passed away. And when she died, her sister was in church in Florida, and a new believer came up to her, and she'd heard about the death of her sister. And she got all wide-eyed, and she just stood there. And Gail said, what is it? And she said, I can't believe that I know somebody that's related to somebody that's right now looking on the face of Jesus.
Amen.
I thought she put it well. Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
It is an honor to be involved in this memorial service today, and I bring condolences and comfort from the Louisiana District Church of the Nazarene Advisory Board and the 47 churches of the Louisiana District. Brother Beyer pastored many of our churches here in Louisiana, represented Christ all over the state, and evangelized in churches all over the United States. We praise God for his effective ministry, and we praise God for the many people that are in heaven now because of his ministry, and those that will be there because of his influence. His influence will continue to live on and have an impact on souls until the final judgment. And we praise God for this godly man. I have here two letters. The first is from Brother Don Walter, director of our pensions and benefits services of the Church of the Nazarene. Dear Mrs. Beyer, my deepest sympathy is with you at this time. News of the death of your husband, Reverend Henry Beyer, has just come to me. The time Jesus faced the sorrow of death comes to mind. When Lazarus had died and Martha was so broken, Jesus comforted her with these words, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die." These words speak a great truth at any point in life, but seem to have special significance during times of sorrow. However, the comfort that Jesus gives goes beyond mere words. The concern of the Savior for his friends was so deep that the Bible says Jesus wept. I am certain that he is as concerned for your family as he was for Mary and Martha. I too wish to express sympathy for the deep sorrow you are experiencing. As fellow members of the body of Christ, it is in times like these that we recognize our great dependence on one another and the love of God in us. Let me assure you of my real willingness to help share your burden through any of the services offered by pensions and benefits. It is my prayer that the living Lord of peace and comfort will be very near during these days. Sincerely, Don Walter. The second letter is from Dr. William Prince with the Board of our General Superintendents. The Board of General Superintendents joins me in expressing our sorrow in the passing of Reverend Beyer. He served Christ and the church faithfully, and his influence will live on in the lives of all who have been touched by his ministry. It is reassuring to know that he has already heard the Master say, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of thy Lord." May God's grace sustain all who mourn his passing, and may faith be increased in anticipation of a brighter day in God's eternal presence. We pray that Christ, who has led all of you across the years, will strengthen you in the days to come. William Prince, for the Board of General Superintendents. Thank you.
Well, glory.
Amen.
Death is out.
Well, glory.
Amen.
Death is out.
Well, glory.
Amen.
Death is out. For the believer, one of the great paradoxes, it's a time of sorrow. For the believer, it's a time of great glory.
Amen.
And I'm glad that I can say that from the bottom of my heart, that God's in the presence of the Lord, that Daddy's in the presence of the Lord.
Amen.
God's Word says to be absent from the body, to be in the presence of the Lord.
Amen.
Glory, I don't know about y'all. I can get excited.
Amen, brother. Amen.
One of the greatest things that I can say about Daddy is that he exhibited a lot of the character of my Lord Jesus.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you this. He took three young kids that had lost their daddy. He took us in, made us his own. And he loved us.
Amen.
I know he loved us because there's been a lot of times heard my daddy and my mom kneeling at the bed and praying for us.
Amen.
That's somebody that loves you.
Praise God.
He's done that for you, Jimmy.
Yeah. Amen. That's right.
My daddy loved me.
Yeah.
Now he's just a shell. Shell of a person. It's like an empty cocoon.
Mm-hmm.
What you see there is my real daddy.
Mm-hmm.
My daddy's in the presence of Almighty God.
Amen. Glory to God.
Glory!
Yes. Amen.
In the presence
of
Almighty God. Hebrews 9:27 says, my mind is completely gone.
It's appointed unto man.
It's appointed unto man once to die. And then the judgment.
Yes.
Every one of us, if the Lord tarries, is going to die.
Mm-hmm.
We live in a world that's fast paced. We're busy. We have appointments to the doctor. We have appointments to the dentist. There's appointments to the lawyer, to the counselors, to be counseled, to shrinks, to we've just got all kind of business appointments. We make them, we break them, we cancel them. Sometimes we just forget about them. But it's appointed unto man once to die and then a judgment. There's two appointments. And there's no way you and I are going to miss those appointments. We are going to die. Unless the Lord Jesus comes back, you and I are going to die. Second thing, we're going to stand in judgment. It's appointed unto man once to die and then the judgment. Now for the believer, those individuals are going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. They're going to be judged according to their works. For the lost individual, the one who's never accepted the Lord Jesus as their Savior, is going to stand at the great white throne judgment before an almighty God. And they're going to be judged according to their sins. My friend, when I get to heaven and I know with a certainty that I'm going to go to heaven, when I go there, I'm going to see my daddy again. He's going to be waving, and I know right now from the way he always welcomed me, he's going to say, "Welcome home, son." But you know the bad thing? The really pitiful thing, the sad thing, is that there are some of you out there right now today
when they shut the lid of this casket for the last time, you'll never see my daddy again. Never. Because of what you've done with Jesus. But I think that it's so important. Some of the things that I have to say right now is so important. I want you to see my daddy again.
Lord.
My daddy wants to see you. Glory, I'm gonna tell you how you can see it again. If you're not, you can. The Bible tells us in Romans 3:23, tells us that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every one of us here in this room have sinned. It doesn't matter if you were the Pope. The Pope has sinned. The Bible tells us that everybody has sinned.
Right. Amen.
And because of that sin in Romans 6:23, it said, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Because of that sin in our life, you and I, just like a job where we go out and earn a wage, because of that sin in our life, we've earned death, a spiritual death. But that same verse tells us that we can have eternal life.
Amen.
Through Jesus Christ the Lord. Isn't that wonderful?
Praise God.
There's only one way that you and I can get to heaven. You can have good jobs. You can have fame, fortune. You can be born with a royal spoon in your mouth and go right straight to hell. God's word tells us in John 14:6, Jesus Christ himself said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one cometh unto the Father but by me. There's no way in this world you can get to heaven without going through the person of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. And you can do it right now today.
Amen.
Revelation 3:20 says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. The door of your heart. It says that if I open the heart, the door of my heart, that he'll come in and sup with me and be with him.
Amen.
You can do that today. I know this is a funeral, but I thank the Lord that because I'm his son, I can get up here and say these things.
That's good.
You can hate me if you want. Your blood can be boiling because of what I'm saying right now. But I'm going to tell you this. If you're out there right now,
yes, sir.
You haven't accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Mm-hmm. You may not today, but the scriptures say that every knee is going to bow, every tongue going to confess
Jesus Christ
is Lord.
Amen.
My friend, you today, we're not going to give an altar call today. We're not going to give an invitation.
You should.
But if the Lord Jesus is speaking to your heart.
Amen. That's right.
Don't leave here today. Talk to one of these men. Talk to me. There's nothing my daddy would rather see.
Yes, sir.
That's right.
His going home party praise today God. Than for you praise to God. Give your life to
praise
the Lord.
God.
Right. Glory!
Amen.
My
praise
son, Lance.
Amen.
It's hard to follow that. Proverbs 13:22 says, a righteous man leaves an inheritance to his children. That's definitely true of Grant Pett. You know, I grew up away from Grandpap a lot, me and my family, and I missed that. We just, you know, lived a ways away from him, so we didn't see him a whole lot. But every memory that I have of him is a great memory. I think he was a righteous man. It was evident. I think anybody that sees his life can definitely see that he was a righteous man. He definitely has left an inheritance. You know, I don't know how much money he left, and I don't really care, but I'm sure he did leave some because he did like to pinch pennies. You know? One of my last memories was in his garage. He used to keep some canned foods out there, and he was telling me about all these good deals that he got at the store, you know. And he definitely was somebody who definitely knew how to save money, and, you know, too bad a lot of us don't know how. But, you know, Uncle Philip wrote some really good words about Grandpa, and I just want to share those with you. Philip says, "I was left a priceless inheritance of eternal importance. I was taught the way by words and example. My father chose to spend his life in God's service. He led a simple life, not striving for fame, money, or power. He loved much. He loved his mother, brothers, and sisters very much. As we would often travel to New Orleans and Pearl River to be with them, along with his nephews, nieces, and other family members, I went with my father to visit people in jails and hospitals, shut-ins, the sick, the old, the poor. He prayed with everybody we visited. I was part of weddings, and I was also present at a number of funerals he conducted. He witnessed to countless thousands." And that just reminds me of the verses that Jesus said about, you know, as you've done it to the least of these, you've done it to me. Well, he also says, "I went with him as he preached in revivals and to visit other churches. He loved to read the Bible." And like so many people's memories of Grandpa was that he was always quoting scripture or dropping to the floor doing 50 push-ups or something, you know? Well, he loved to read the Bible, memorize scripture, and listen to other preachers on the radio. He touched more lives than we'll ever know this side of heaven. Uncle Philip says one of his most vivid dreams as a child was that he was with his father, and he was holding his hand. They were standing on a hill overlooking Jerusalem. He says, "We will do that one day, I know. What else can I say but to remind you again that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. He wants to hold your hand, be your father, and lead you in the way."
Speaking of saving money, one day Brother Byer stopped by the church, and he and Sister Byer had been to every store in Slidell, Pearl River, Covington, and I think half of New Orleans. He said, "Brother Allen, I saved $10 in groceries." I said, "Brother Byer, how much gas did you spend?" He said, $15. I guess it's just however you look at it, how you're saving money, huh? Sometime it costs you to save money. But he did leave one of the richest heritages that I've ever known in my life. Liking about 2 weeks, 15 years ago, I met a man called Uncle Henry. He put my wife and I in the back seat of his car, and we had a tour de New Orleans. And I didn't think we would ever survive it, but we did. People would blow the horns, and he'd say, "Oh, I used to live here. That's just one of my friends." He never did see what they were waving. They were these peculiar-looking things. They call them AK-39s now. 47, 52, 69s, however old you are. But then he took us out to some place to eat, and And finally, we arrived back in Pearl River. And he said, "How'd you enjoy the trip?" I said, "I've never been so glad to get home in all my life." But I want you to know that that day, a friendship budded that has grown and grown and grown. And today, I feel a little bit like Timothy did at the departure of Paul. Paul said these words, and he said, "For I'm already been poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day." Not his best representative, not the Secretary of the State, not one of the best of the best, but the Lord himself. Amen. Is going to hand me my crown of righteousness. God. Have you ever thought about Stephen? When they stoned old Stephen to death, it said Jesus was standing at the right hand of the Father to welcome him home. I'm sure Wednesday that Jesus stood again. Amen. And said, "Welcome home, Uncle Henry." He said, not to me only, but also to all those who love his appearing. Amen. "Be diligent to come to me quickly." As Vernon says, I don't know about you, I'm making plans to go.
Amen.
Matter of fact, I already got my ticket bought. And I want you to know on this flight, there'll be no delays. It won't be late. It'll be on time.
Amen.
And I've got my ticket. Not because I was worth it. I didn't even have to buy it. It was one of those free gifts.
Praise God.
For the gift of God, eternal salvation.
Amen.
I'm glad today to know that Brother Beyer read the word and he found in God's word that God loved him and had a wonderful plan for his life.
Right.
And I want you to know that same word is available to every one of us today. You can read it and you can heed it. You can understand it. You can comprehend it and you can grasp it. You can know it. You can realize it, that God loves you. The Bible says, "Casting all your cares upon him, for God cares for you." Why would God ever choose an old, sorry, no good, nothing, rotten sinner like me and care for me? Folks, that is a mystery that I'll never understand. But I plan to go it someday and humbly kneel at the feet of Jesus and say, "Thank you for doing that for me."
Amen.
That God could love a sinner such as I. Such love. Such love. Love beyond comprehension. I know today that God loved Brother Beyer. He left him here a long time. And only eternity is going to reveal all the fruit of the seed. As you have said, and I repeat, he didn't go anywhere unless he was talking to somebody about Jesus. It didn't matter if it was a mall or the service station or the grocery store, wherever he went, he was telling somebody the good news. You know, folks, there's enough bad news in the world to bury it. What we need to become is bearers of good news. Jesus loves us. Jesus died for us. Jesus cares for us. Do you realize that's what we're really looking for? We want to hear good news. We want to hear good news. God cared for him because he gave him such a big one. Man, look at his family. Wow. Aren't you? You know, I just kind of envy some of you. But did you realize that really I'm related to you? You know that?
Yes.
You kind of, someone kind of says, ugh. Yeah, it all goes back to the blood of Jesus. His royal blood.
Amen.
Now flows in our veins.
Amen.
Brother Russ said he's a Baptist. Well, you know, Jesus was a Nazarene. And John was a Baptist. And I got news for you. All the rest of it just fit in somewhere in between. Oh, I know the Bible does say something about the great assembly of God. I'm not sure if it means the assembly of God or the assembly of God. But anyway, I'm glad today that we're all brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. Praise God.
And when we get home, what a day.
Yes.
You see, I'm going to go to Brother Byer and say, Brother Byer, thank you for the times you encouraged me. Brother Rust, you were right. He would sit over there and, man, he would just encourage.
Yeah.
And Sister Byer, once in a while, she'd say, well, things are getting just a little dull, and poor boy's lost it. She'd just stand up, start, and she'd shout the glory down. You see, folks, when you got friends like that, you can make it.
That's right.
You can make it.
Yeah, amen.
When you got encouraged, you ever thought about Barnabas? You know what his name was, really? Encourager.
Yes.
He was an encourager. I'm sure that, I'm not sure, you know, the man that wrote the book, Balcony, about the balcony, said people of heaven are looking over the balcony and encouraging us. If that's the truth, then I have a friend, another friend,
yes,
in heaven today, and he said, you can make it. You can make it. You can make it.
Glory to God.
Boom. I can always remember that little tiny Bible he had. I couldn't even read Holy Bible in the front of it. And it had such a little tiny. And sometimes you think he's reading out of it. Well, he's just reciting 2, 3, 4, 5 chapters to you. You know, he just. The word was hid in his heart.
Yes.
And it just come alive. I know today that God cared for him because of you. You're a living proof today that God cared for him because he cared for you. And see, Jesus cares for all of us. Casting all your cares. I don't know about you, when I heard the news, it just broke my heart. It still does today. I understand why Jesus wept at the grave of Lazarus. I know why he did. Because he felt toward Lazarus like I do toward Brother Byer. But I go to the book of Revelation, it says, and he's going to wipe all of our tears away.
That's right.
He's going to wipe them all away.
Amen, God.
Because, folks, we're going home where we'll never part. We'll never separate. We'll never have together like this again for all eternity. We'll never say goodbye to anybody. It's just always going to be morning.
Amen.
It's always going to be the day of the Lord. God cares for you. And back in those early years, God said to Brother Byer, I love you and have a wonderful plan for your life. He accepted it. I can remember at the age of 9 when God put his thumb in my back and said, I want you to preach. I ran. I tried to hide. I did everything. But I didn't want to do that. I didn't want to do that. But you know what? I'm glad today that he loved me and he cared for me when I was unlovable. I shouldn't have been cared for. And had I been God, I'd have scratched me off the list. But he didn't.
Right.
He just kept loving. And no matter who you are today, saint or sinner, God loves you. God cares for you. And God will care for you until the trump of the Lord sounds. When time shall be no more. But while there's time, while it's called today, think about it. God cares for you.
Glory to God.
There's one that is faithful and true. And by faith we can see it afore.
Praise God. Glory to God.
For our Father waits over the moon. prepared us a dwelling place there. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. In the sweet by and by, we're gonna meet on that beautiful shore. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful
Thank you, our Father, today, that our lives have been touched. Thank you today, Father, that we have that promise that we shall meet again. We live as people, as was read in my paraphrase, there are many people who live who don't have any hope. But today we live as a people with hope.
Amen.
A hope in Jesus Christ. Paul said if he died, he didn't die, and if we don't believe in it, then it's all in vain. But I'm glad today that he died with purpose in mind because he loved us.
Amen.
He died that we could be, he said, in my Father's house are many mansions. And the other day he finished Brother Henry's. He said, come home and occupy. Maybe ours isn't quite ready, but they will be soon. And we too shall go to be with the Lord. Thank you for this beautiful family. God cares for them. And may God sustain you and keep you and undergird you and empower you in the days ahead. And for all the emptiness in your heart, fill it with his presence. In his name we pray and thank you. Amen.
Amen.